And perhaps you know that I was editor of publications for Kenneth E. Hagin for many years. One day he walked into my office and he said, "There's going to be an age change. I won't be here. It's not going to be just like you step over a log and everything is different. God is going to start bringing things from the glory world into this world. There will be more occasion of angels and activity seen. And there will be people, many people, more people will go behind the veil into the glory world and bring back a testimony of what they saw. Some," he said, "will be near-death experiences, some will not." So right away then, that was in probably 1979, I started collecting these people, and I've known them through the years, people who have been to heaven and come back with their testimony. Known them for years. Now one of my newest collections, my newest pieces in my collection, is Dean Braxton. And Dean Braxton was dead for an hour and 45 minutes. He had an amazing experience in heaven. And he recently came by Prayer Mountain, and I interviewed him. And you're about to hear the things he shared.
You talked about, I've been going through my head listening to you, but I've been going about the secret you talked about. And one of the things that, and you probably, I hope you bring it out, is that most people enter into that realm asking first instead of praising.
Mm-hmm.
The first I think we should do whenever we go to the Father mm-hmm. in prayer is to praise Him, give Him glory. And even if there's something we're getting ready to ask, to thank Him for how He's answered that in the past. You know,
mm-hmm.
I really believe when Jesus even said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name means to glorify Him, to give Him honor.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in heaven, that's how they said things. They thanked Him for what He was doing. And I really believe that's a key. I was diagnosed with cancer about maybe 3 years ago. And, okay, this is a man that left and went to be with the Father. So my thinking is different than your thinking, okay? The first thing I thought was, "Oh, I get to go home." That's what I said.
That's what Marilyn said.
You know?
No.
So that's what I was thinking. And then I remembered I told the Lord when I came back this time, I said, "I would stay here and serve you to 95 and tell everybody I can if that's what you want." He never answered back. But he reminded me right after I said
what
that,
you said.
What I said. And I thought, okay, now I've got to have some prayer warriors out there praying for me. So this is how I approached him. I said, "I don't want you to pray that I be healed. I want you to thank God that I am healed." That's mm-hmm. what I said. Don't go and ask him to heal Dean. I want you to enter in that realm saying, "Thank you for Dean being healed."
Mm-hmm.
A month later, I go back to the doctor. And he tells me he can't find no cancer.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
No one requested it. They thanked him for it, and I was healed.
Well, that's what he said in Philippians.
Yes.
He said, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything."
Oh, boy.
"With thanksgiving, yes. Let your requests be made known to God."
Is that good news?
Isn't that great? And I noticed that you talked about the different words for praise.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first got baptized in the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
It was during the charismatic move,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of people and from denominational churches, and they just didn't know if it was right to raise your hands or not.
Yeah.
They just didn't know. So they ferreted out and hunted for a couple of verses, but if they'd known the Hebrew words,
yeah.
There's a Hebrew word often translated thanksgiving, that's yada.
Yada, yeah.
And this is your yod.
Yeah.
And you take your yod and you lift it to
yeah.
Jehovah. You lift
yeah.
yada.
Yada.
And so it's over and over. You enter his courts with, actually, it says yada.
Yes.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
Hands lifted up,
yeah.
praising him, glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, bless the Lord. There's one thing I want to, I heard you say, didn't read it in your book.
Mm-hmm.
You said that the spirit has to leave and then the body can
oh,
die.
Oh, yes, yes.
Explain
yes.
that.
What I found out when I was going through this process of what we call dying, just to let you know, here I come back, and people, I knew I had died or had left my body, but I didn't have the feeling, I didn't have the notion of it, I didn't have nothing that said I died in my processing, okay? And I thought, well, that's kind of different, you know? I knew I died, but there was nothing that said I died like I thought I would. And it took about a few years later when I was watching a movie of a guy that was a missionary down in Ecuador. And the native, as he said, he was getting ready to spear the man that he called it. He said the man jumped the boda, which is the snake. He jumped the snake, which means he went into the afterlife before he put the spear into him. And when he said that, I said, that's it. I left my body before it died. And I didn't know that. But then a scripture came to me, which was James, the second chapter, 26th verse, says, faith without works is dead, just like the body is dead without the spirit. It means the spirit has to leave first, and then the body dies. Your body cannot die unless the spirit leaves. You know, and that really got me. And if you think of man, how we became a living soul, remember in Genesis, the second chapter, it literally says, God formed this man, and then he
breathed.
He put the spirit in the inside of it, and the body became a living soul.
And the word for Hebrew word for breath and spirit are the same, ruach.
Yes.
Brother Copeland's glorious brother, yes. Young brother, died in an automobile accident. He hit a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a teenage, you know. And the Lord showed Brother Copeland that he never felt hitting that tree, that his spirit left first.
Yes. I was just with three other guys. I was four, and two women. We were doing a filming not too long ago for a guy, a friend of ours named John Burke, and he's putting out a new book. You know, he put out Imagine Heaven. I don't know if you've ever seen it or anything like that. And he grabbed a bunch of us that have had this experience together to come and do a filming for him recently. And that was one thing that out of all six of us, five of us said, we left our body. Mm-hmm. And then our body died. You know, and it was funny because we're sitting around the table talking about how we all died.
You know, that'd be an interesting conversation. I'd like to be a fly on the wall right there.
And it was interesting because the two that I liked the best, people say, how can you like that? Was one game was John Woodford, Jim Woodford, which he died in a plane crash. And he gave his life to the Lord just before he died.
Just before. He knew he was going down?
He said, I truly was the thief on the cross. And he got to go to heaven. And the other guy was named Ron. And Ron had been stabbed 14 times. And the 14th time stab went into his heart. And that's how he died. But we all went to be with the Father and Jesus in heaven. And so we were all around the table talking about. And five of us talked about how we left our body first. And then our body died.
How do I watch that?
I don't know. Find out,
let me know.
Yeah, when Jim puts it out. But the thing that got me was I have never been one to read other people's stories. I've always believed that if I stay pure to this story and then somebody else like you come and hear someone else's story and we coordinate together, then yes, you know, you got two witnesses. You know, I said, let everything mm-hmm. be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was looking at. But to be there with these guys and they're talking about that and their feelings and how they're going all through this stuff. This is what I said. They really did die. That's what I was thinking. I felt that. They really did die.
Yeah. You know, and sometimes, of course, I've known a lot of these people. Like I told you, I collect them.
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll see something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But you said heaven's vast.
Yes.
Heaven is vast. So if somebody, let's say an alien, came mm-hmm. to Earth, he landed in Miami, Florida,
mm-hmm.
he would describe it quite differently.
Yes.
If somebody landed in Washington State or Antarctica or Arctica, you know, it even Earth, little old Earth, it's different. So I've always known, well, he might have seen this way and this that way, you know.
You know, one of the things I found out with the group I was with, 90% of what we all agreed on, 90%. Mm-hmm. And that was high to me, you know, because I'm a biblical person. I'm always bringing out the word.
Yes.
I'm saying I experienced this. Here it is in the word of God.
That's right.
I experienced it. And it's not to prove that I was right. It's really because
no,
I'm way short in describing it. And if I can give you a scripture like I've been doing, then you can read it and God can take you further.
That's true.
That's the reason for
it. Oh, you have to put the word first.
Yes.
The word is much more than experience.
Yes.
The word.
Yes.
The written word.
Yes. And I tell people all the time, if anybody knows about that realm and how to describe it, wouldn't it be God?
So
in saying that to you, so these guys that we may have said it different, do you understand? And that was my biggest concern, because I've been with people that have had these experiences, and I'm thinking, where's that in the word? Where's that in the word? I say that right off the bat. You know, I come from the same roots you come from.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm talking about?
You show me in that word.
Okay. And so, but it was really good to see that about 90% of everything we say it is the right. And the 10%, they may say it different than I did, okay, in the sense of how they say it. But I could say, oh, yeah, I could see how that they could say that. You understand? So it was really, really, really a very enlightening time for myself.
Yes. And you know, I told you that I've been thinking about Kent going home since it was just yesterday, you know,
yes,
that was
yes.
the anniversary. And I was sitting there in, let me find this. I was sitting in the funeral home, you know, and his body was there in the casket. And it was his body, of course. Mm-hmm. He's not home. Mm-hmm. The real Kent is gone already, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I was just saying to the Lord, you know, he was young. And 49.
Yeah.
And I really wanted him, you know, he to finish his work, this and that. And the Lord gave me this scripture. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It says, and the Lord said to me, it doesn't say until the day you die.
Yeah.
It says until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's still working and completing, and they're alive there, and God's working in them and with them and changing them from glory to glory, one degree of glory to the next, one degree of love to the next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking about the one you said who died in a plane crash.
Yes.
And he just barely, I mean, he didn't know much when he left Earth.
Yeah.
And I've heard another great saint of God say, leaving Earth and going to heaven doesn't make a spiritual giant out of you.
Yes.
You still have to learn things and be changed and know some things and know God better. And so one thing now I want to talk about is the worship.
Yes.
And you've written a whole book.
Yes.
Called Deep Worship in Heaven.
Correct.
And my granddaughter, who's a worship leader at Chip's Church, she just, this just changed her.
Wow. Wow.
So tell us about what you learned.
First, the simple part I learned is that true worship is doing the will of God. Okay. I learned also that the main reason that we come together in praise and worship and the singing is to tell our Father how much we love him. I wish people would come with that individual mindset. I'm coming here to tell my Father I love him. Now, we may sing it. We may move in our hands. We may do all these things. But it's really just tell him we love him, you know. And that love could be, like you said, yada, which is thank you. That's a form of a worship. And it's a way to tell God I love you, you know. One of my favorite is Amar, which talks about, it's a Hebrew word, and it talks about the motion to make the music, not just the music, but to make the music is worship. And I think about people that play the piano, or they strum the guitar, or they maybe have a sax before them and they move their fingers. God is excited when they're moving their fingers to make the music, because he looks at that as worship. You know, Barak is prostrating yourself down on the ground before the Lord, as a Hebrew word. All of that was done in heaven. I saw everything in heaven do that.
You saw people with their hands raised.
I saw them with their hands
you
raised.
You saw them lying
on I
the
saw
ground.
Them lying down. I saw them dancing.
Did you see them dancing?
Oh, did I see them dancing? I always
How
think,
do they dance?
Oh, they danced every which way you can think of.
Every which way?
Every movement I could think of on the planet that was healthy. You know, there's some movies that you just don't want to do because they're not godly. But the healthy ones, you saw everyone. Plus, I didn't even know people. And one thing I came to understand, those that don't dance on the planet, they're going to be the wildest in heaven.